Good morning, everybody. Today is February 15th, Thursday. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. It is 10:04 a.m. You can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Moving right along to public comment. Public comment will be taken at the beginning and end of each meeting. Public comment will also be available after each agendized item. Is there any public comment today? For those folks that are calling in, you can use the raise your hand feature, the chat feature. And if you're calling in on a phone, I believe it's star 6 to unmute yourself and star 9 to raise your hand. Not seeing any public comment, we're going to move on to item number 4, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for February 15th, 2024. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments about today's agenda?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments?
Good to go, thank you.
All right, County Manager Osborne, are there any modifications to the agenda today?
Nope, we're good, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding the items on today's agenda? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 5 is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments about the consent agenda?
No questions, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I have no questions, thank you.
County Manager Osborne.
None, thank you.
All right, is there any public comment regarding the consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 6, our staff reports. No public comment will be taken. We're going to kick it off with the Sheriff's Office. All right, thank you, Sheriff. Do we have somebody from the Fire Protection District with us? Yes, sorry.
No, nothing.
Fair enough, thank you. How about Public Works?
Nothing new to report at this time.
Great, thanks, Jason. How about Operations Projects Coordinator Mike Northern?
Mike is off today, and I'm assuming he has nothing new to report.
Sounds great. I see Laura jumping in there. Jim, what's Laura saying?
Laura?
Yeah. She was in the chat. Down in the chat.
Up there, she's up. No report.
All right. How about Lenny Coughlin? Great, thank you. Emergency management. He's there.
Nothing to report today, thank you.
All right. How about the VCTC, Todd?
Yeah, I had a great turnout for our Devil Made Me Do It saloon crawl. Close to 500 participants on tickets sold. And we're looking forward to a great opportunity with St. Patty's Day and the Rocky Mountain Oyster Fry, along with the St. Patty's Day Parade. So all of that occurring on March 16th.
Anything else, Todd?
That's all that I have.
Sounds good. Appreciate the update. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Todd?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Up next, the Comptroller's Office. Thank you, Jennifer. Moving on to the Assessor's Office. I don't think Jana's on there. How about the Planning Department?
Good morning, everybody. I'm just going to remind that we have a planning commission meeting tonight. We have on the agenda the source water protection plan from that we're working with NDEP and RCI. They're going to be giving an update on what that is to our planning commissioners. We have three new planning commissioners, so we're also going to give them an update on the master plan process, the CIP process that we're working on, and give them a quick update on the Long Valley Creek projects. So that'll be tonight at 6 o'clock. So thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Kathy?
No, thank you, Kathy.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right, how about the recorder's office? Thank you, Drew. How about the IT department? Moving right along to human resources.
Nothing to report today.
Thanks, Brandy. How about community development? Thank you, Pete. How about the senior center? How about the DA's office?
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Ann. County manager?
Nope, I don't have anything. Thank you.
Fantastic. How about the clerk treasurer's office?
Not at this moment. I'll be up next, I believe.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you. Is there anybody that I missed that has an update for us today? All right. Not seeing any. Thank you for those updates that we got today. We're going to move right along to item number 7, which is board comment. I'm going to start off with Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing new today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lance. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, I don't have any specific comments. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. The only comments I have today are to mention that Barbara Bowers has passed away. She was an integral part of this county for quite a few, I want to say decades. I know she worked at Public Works and maybe possibly our first admin on record. I do want to take a moment of silence for Barbara Bowers and anybody else that has passed away. Story County. Thank you for that. Moving on to item number 8 is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the final canvas of the results of the February 6, 2024 presidential primary election held in and for Story County. Clerk Treasurer Hindle.
1 second, sir.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, commissioners, for allowing us to meet today in the special meeting. Jim Hindle, clerk treasurer for the record. We are here to do a canvass of the vote of the 2024 presidential preference primary that was run February 6th. So this was last Tuesday. As always, when we are doing the canvass of the vote, the deadline from the end of the election and when we can tally votes to when we have to canvass the vote with the Board of Commissioners doesn't allow us to put the actual canvass data in the call of the meeting just based on timing. We, in order to make the lead time for notice, the notice must go out before the vote is actually finalized. We did not finalize the vote until this last Monday evening. That is because even though the primary is on February 6th, no ballots postmarked by February 6th have until 4 days, that would have been Saturday the 10th, to arrive in order to be logged in, cast, and counted. And then any cured ballots where there is a signature or some informational mismatch have until... Sorry, Vice Chairman Mitchell says he can't hear any audio. Is anybody else having an audio problem that's online?
I am not.
Okay.
No.
All right. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Clay. So it isn't until 5 p.m. on the eighth day after the, the sixth day after the vote, that we can finalize and count all mail ballots that have been cured or received. So we did not have the final result until Monday evening. And that is what is now available to the public here, handed out in packets, and the packet just handed to the commissioners. And what I have on screen is the election summary report. And I can also put up the cast vote total report in a moment. This first, and before I go into the summary detail of the result of the vote, I just want to say that the vote was conducted as planned. We have no clerical errors, and we have no errors or issues in the process of conducting the vote, the data collected, or the result as I'm presenting it today. So to go over the vote very quickly so that everybody can see it on Zoom, what we have here is the election summary report. The first page is showing you just a breakdown of how the vote was cast. This was a closed primary only for registered Republicans and Democrats, and the voting could be done by in-person mail-in, and the in-person could be election day or by early voting. And so that's what you see here, is just votes cast by the grouping of whether it was done by mail, election day, or early vote. The main thing I want to highlight here is that compared to other elections that we have had in the county, even post-COVID elections when mail-in balloting was started, this is a very low turnout for both this county and across the state. So you can see that as in the box down there, total. We had 571 votes cast out of a potential eligible vote of 2,650, which is a 21.55% turnout. The level of this turnout, what I've done in the past during 2022 general, was try and give some trend line as opposed to how our trends between early voting, election day, and mail voting were trending. I don't think that this data allows us to make a valid or a statistical comparison in terms of turnout. So just that low amount, I think, is going to be an anomaly as we look at trends as opposed to how voting is going to how voting is going to change or potentially change given the options that are now available. I'm going to go on to the next page. I'm going to have to go over and scroll up a little bit. So what we have here is the results by the two contests that were conducted during the presidential primary and the total votes collected. One thing in each of these two contests that I want to highlight is that the top of the contest shows the times cast, that is votes cast, and then the total votes cast within the contest itself shows that it's one less. That is because, and the same thing in the Republican result, we have 320 votes cast, but only 318 tallied. That is because with the nature of mail-in ballots, if we receive an eligible ballot, we have to tally it as an eligible vote cast. But if nothing is indicated, then it becomes an undervote, and it just is as if they abstained. So that is the only difference between the times cast and the total votes within the contest, was because we had mail ballots that were not, they are counted in the denominator as total received, but they had no vote on them to be tallied. With that, I'm going to change for everybody's information and just quickly present the statement of votes cast so you can see turnout within the contest by each of the precincts across the county, just for information. I got to bring up another slide. Okay.
There might be two options, just make sure the page, they can see what's on the page as I scroll through.
So again, you have the summary page that shows turnout by precinct. And if I go too fast and anybody wants to stop and talk about something specific, please let me know. I just want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to see the totals, as I know they were not in the original packet. I have no further specific comments on these pages, just for information. I think you need to click on the page, Austin, if you would. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So the first contest that will be shown is the Democrat presidential primary. And what you see is the vote by precinct. And then across the top are the individual candidates and the votes they garnered. Nope. Go ahead and scroll through, Austin, Mike. Go ahead. All right. This one is of the Republican primary total. And again, it's the same. You have the votes cast by precinct and then by candidate as it is listed across the top, going from left to right. I think that should be it. So this one in general, from what we usually experience for elections in Story County, was very straightforward and simple. And I am open to any questions from the commissioners.
Thank you, Clerk Treasurer Hindle. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Jim?
I have no questions. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, I don't have any questions either. Looks good. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Before I go to public comment, Jim, I personally want to thank you. Your staff in the office and all the volunteers that helped with this process. I know it was kind of our first shot at doing this. I think you guys did an outstanding job. So I wanted to extend those thank yous to you again, the staff and all the volunteers that came and helped.
Right. I appreciate that, Commissioner Carmona. The volunteers are critical in this process, and we had over 20 who helped us early voting election day and then within the ballot board to process the mail ballots on election night and this past Monday. And I thank them so much because that's what makes this process work. And it is also part of the transparency that allows us to make sure we have integrity in the process. And the staff, Heather Faircloth, Alicia Duke, knowing that we're working with one person down at the moment, they really chipped in and made this happen. Yeah. So I appreciate your acknowledgement of them.
Indeed. Thank you again. Is there any public comment regarding this agenda item? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the final canvass of the February 6th, 2024 presidential primary election held in and for Story County, and that the county clerk make a copy of the abstract and make a mechanical report of the abstract to the Secretary of State.
I'll second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again, Jim.
Thank you, commissioners.
Yep, see you in a few months, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to item number 9 is discussion only. Review, discuss, and provide comments and public review on Bill number 139, Ordinance number 24-327, amending Story County Code 3.5, adding Economic Diversification District number 2, and draft government services agreement defraying county costs needed to provide government services to the Economic Diversification District number 2 related to Tesla Inc.'s application to the Governor's Office of Economic Development for certain sales and use tax, real property tax and personal property tax abatements for Gigafactory 2 and or related expansion activities and other properly related matters. This item does not pertain to Economic Diversification District number 1. County Manager Osborne.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, Austin Osborne for the record. What today is really about is a workshop to just get public comment and get comment from you and the board and to review the contents of what we have in front of us, which is an ordinance proposal to create an economic diversification district in accordance with Senate Bill 1 from 2014 as related to the Tesla Gigafactory 2 and related expansion activities, and also to go over a second document, which is a government services agreement that accompanies that first action in order to defray any potential costs that the county may have in responding to that District 2 while there's tax abatements that are occurring. So today's not action. We want to give folks a chance to look at this posted online. We had, as a reminder, talked about this at the last commission meeting, went over some elements. And if, as a reminder, last meeting also went over a map with you all to kind of show you what's in and out of this district, especially as there's some overlap, but no connection between two different areas. And that PowerPoint is available. I don't know if we'll need it or not, but it's there if we need to reference those maps again. So I welcome anybody on the board to stop me at any given point. It's really, today is really about a workshop and discussion. So just a little brief background. In 2014, Senate Bill 1 was approved by the Nevada legislature. And then 2015, Story County had created Economic Diversification District number 1. It was for Tesla. It was for the Gigafactory as we know it today. And now we're in 2024. The property tax abatements on that Gigafactory are set to expire on June 30th. In other words, that will be paying property tax for that current development. At the same time, the company is proposing to do another Gigafactory activity that would not be in any way associated with the existing factory at the site, and it would be therefore under what's called Economic Diversification District number 2. This would be created by ordinance. That's what's in front of us today. That's the bill. And then and just a reminder, there's no overlap, there's no connection, there's no anything that really connects to the existing factory or anything new that is created. So what I plan on doing is everybody online, as well as the commission, has a copy of the bill, the proposed ordinance. And I wanted to go over that line by line and just kind of go over, not every single line, but go over major parts of it. And then if you want to stop me at any kind of point and talk about that, I'd be perfectly happy to stop. I do want to remind us, I welcome all of us who were involved in putting this together to speak at any time during this presentation. Our comptroller, Jennifer McCain, was integral throughout this process and the financial aspects of it. Our sheriff, as well as Under Sheriff Kern, were very involved in the sheriff's aspect and law enforcement parts of this. Our district attorney, Ann Langer, and deputy district attorney, Brian Brown, were integral in developing the EDD and making sure it complied with legal parameters. A lot of work went into that. And I also want to thank other people on our team, such as Public Works, that were involved in making sure that road issues that we're going to see today worked with their bidding processes and costs and those sorts of things. And the building department that was also involved in looking at the overall thing, as well as the fire district, as far as building permitting and how all that ties together, as well as others. So what I'm going to do at this point, Mr. Chairman, is turn to the actual draft ordinance. And that's posted on the packet for anybody that's online. Bill number 139, ordinance number 24327. And I can go through everything as you want, but really I just have a couple key points I want to bring up. But I'll stop at any point anybody wants me to. This ordinance creates.
Well, Jesus, I think this is the first time you come in.
Yeah, I know, it's concerning you.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Somebody's obviously not very happy. So anyway, this ordinance would create Economic Diversification District number 2. There's a definition of that district at the beginning of this document. And it says expansion improvements. That's really what this is all about. It's about expansion that occurs down at that site and in those map areas that we looked at the last meeting. They include real and personal property improvements made to Economic Diversification District number 2 on or after the specific dates of this ordinance. and they do not include any real property or that's leased by the applicant or the participant, and they do not include any personal property used for the maintenance or replacement of any property or equipment abated under the Economic Diversification District number one. In other words, like we talked about last time, Gigafactory One and all those related activities are not what's part of this. So going to the second page, this is section 350330. It's the creation of the district. And what's important about this, we talked about at the first meeting, is that Gigafactory One is off limits. It is not subject to further abatements. It's not subject to further activity, except what we talked about in the last map, where there were a couple squares and rectangles where expansion activity could occur that would be abated, but that would not affect real property. It's also important to note here that all the land that's involved in anything that currently is under EDD 1 is going to become taxed after June 30th. There is no continued abatements. There's no blending or connection between these two. Really, a lot of this ordinance, it looks complicated because you see a lot of legal descriptions of different areas and maps. That's important. Our DA's office was integral in helping us put those together. I also thank our planning department and assessor's office for helping us actually get those legal descriptions. And then what's important too is for someone that actually wants to understand what that means, there's a government services agreement we'll talk about in a moment that has illustrated maps that correspond to these legal descriptions so you can see what is where. I'm going to go to it's technically the third page in the packet, and it's going to be section 2 EDD main. This is one of those expansion improvement areas, and this will become effective on July 1. And I'm not going through all the stuff in the middle because I believe we covered it at the February 6th meeting, but I'm happy to stop anytime you want. The next section, 3 EDD 2 Milan. There's no land involved in this abatement. The land will be paid taxes. And December 1 is when the abatements for expansions become effective. And nothing existing, there's a buildings on there already. Those buildings will become taxed. They will not be part of EDD 2. But if there's expansion to those buildings, that would be part of EDD 2. Going to section 4, this is EDD 2 view shed. This becomes effective on July 1 for abatements. It does not have any land abatement associated with it. Any expansions that would occur here would be abated. On number 5, EDD 2 New West. Remember, we call this New West because it's new and it's in the West. There's simplicity trying to build in this so the average person can understand it. This area, the abatements will become effective December 1. Land would be abated in this as well as new buildings because it never was part of the original Economic Diversification District 1. Section 6 is EDD 2 Electric. It's a very small parcel. If we remember where the guard shack and a little bit of road exist, it was red on those maps. This area would become effective December 1. The land under this would not be abated. And then anything that is existing on it, like the road and the guard shack, would not be abated. And then the next one is the test area we talked about last time. This is an existing developed area. It's kind of like Gigafactory One. It's off limits to tax abatements, but there's an exception here where expansions that would occur in that area would be subject to abatement. And that would be on July 1. And then the last part here is other improvements, accessory buildings, roads, sidewalks, curbs and gutter, light poles. These are all things that are taxed. And if they are existing in the original boundaries of Diversification District 1, they will be taxed like they are in Diversification District 1. If they add new parking lots and new poles and new sidewalks, that will be expansion area and it will be abated. The assessor's office has a contract auditor that keeps track of all of these things. He's been doing it for the last 10 years. He'll continue doing it for the next 10. It's part of this. And that auditor will make sure that everything is accounted for over the next 10 years, that improvements that occur inside Gigafactory One, that a replacement of equipment and things like that are taxed, and that things that come and are built on areas that are expansion, for EDD2 are abated appropriately. And then there is section 350, 350, 360, and 370. The parties recognize that there's still some communications going on with the Department of Taxation and Governor's Office of Economic Development and the District Attorney's Office, just to make sure that the language is correct here. These things will be all finalized by second reading on February 20. So I welcome any questions that anybody has, including my own team here that I listed earlier that was involved in this. Any questions about this before we go to the government services agreement?
Thank you, Austin. I just want to note for the record that we do have Chris Riley here from Tesla in the audience. I believe there's somebody else. I just don't know who that is. Samantha, welcome. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions or comments so far, sir?
No questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments so far?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Does the public have any questions at this time? Austin, I think we're good to go ahead.
Okay. So once again, I'll kind of go back again. So the Economic Diversification District is an ordinance creating an abatement area. With that, we have worked with Tesla, especially with Chris Riley and his team and our team that I mentioned earlier, to develop the types of responses and types of activities that we anticipate will be responding to Economic Diversification District number 2 as a county, as this area will be fully tax abated. So in front of you is a government services agreement draft. I want to remind us that we currently operate under a government services agreement for Diversification District 1. That is a totally different document than what we're talking about today. They don't relate to each other. They don't look at each other. It is a completely new piece of territory for the next following 10 years. So this has been provided to the public and to this board online. So I don't plan on going over everything, but there's a couple key areas I want to bring to your attention that we were able to put together. But I welcome anybody to stop me at any point and talk about any part of this. So just in summary, what this document does at a 100,000 foot level is Tesla will pay for 7 sheriff's deputies that will be used on a 24-hour rotation schedule to respond to Economic Diversification 2 needs. They will also provide for all their personal protective equipment, the vehicles, and all the other equipment that they have. Tesla will be providing 1 Model Y Tesla as a kind of a pilot car for the sheriff to try out. And the sheriff, I appreciate Sheriff Cullen and Under Sheriff Kern for working with Tesla and us throughout this entire process to come up with what they feel is appropriate for them to be able to respond appropriately in the needs here. The next thing that we're going to talk about is Tesla would be paying 85% of a traffic signal to be installed at the intersection of Milan Drive and Electric Avenue, and that will be up to $1.7 million. Our public works team, our contractor, Titan, and others that we work with have reviewed this to see to make sure the numbers are appropriate. And of course, we've been working with the rest of our parties as well on that. The assessor's office will also be covered in the costs for all of the assessor's office costs, including appraisals of the Diversification District 2, as well as the auditor, independent auditor that is used to do all the accounting of all of this. And then lastly, Tesla will also pay for a 911 dispatcher. All of these costs will go through the entire 10-year period of this abatement. So going to the government services agreement, I'd like to bring you to section 5 that's on page 3 of the agreement. And so when you get to that point, I talked about sheriff's office coverage. Between now, or at least February 20, and the end of this year, the payments really, let me just say this, the payments actually begin in July of this year, the payment plan to the county, but the sheriff's office needs to start ordering vehicles, making hires, and making other investments now. So Tesla has agreed to provide the numbers that you see there as advance payment to the county so we can start ramping up the sheriff's office between now and July so the program can begin on time. the next section, which is C, there is the Model Y. They will provide up to $70,000 for the Model Y, which is the cost of the car. And then also they'll provide up to $18,000 to outfit the Model Y with appropriate police equipment. The sheriff and Tesla work together to get the right vendor in place that understands how to outfit a Model Y Tesla with the equipment that's needed for this to happen. You'll see the payment schedule, FY fiscal year 24 or 25 all the way through 34. You can see overall the sheriff's office will receive about $11.2 million over 10 years for the county. And the dispatch, as well as the assessor's office combined, will get about another $2.1 million over that period of time. The county in this program alone will get about $13.368 million over the 10-year period of time on a prescribed schedule. This does not count the $1.7 million for the traffic intersection signal as well. That will be in addition. The numbers that were come up with here, our Human Resources Department, Comptroller, everybody I had put together to make sure the proper inflation factors are integrated into this with insurance increases, staffing increases, union contracts, just general inflation, everything else as well. On the next page, on page 4, subsection D, if conditions were to change over the 10-year period of time, as far as the economy, the county's needs, Tesla's needs, there are reopeners in here that the parties can ask to reopen the contract, and we can discuss things that might be needed at that time. That was similar to what happened in the last agreement, and we had exercised a reopener and brought in, I believe, about $7 million more to the county in that reopener with some improvements that were needed in infrastructure. Going to subsection, it's still in D, going to the third paragraph down. There is an element in here that if the, I'll just read it. The parties agree to meet immediately to redetermine Tesla's annual fee payment to the county to defray in whole or in part the cost of government services provided by District Number 2 by the county at any time that the state of Nevada or a political subdivision or agency of the state of Nevada causes the diversion of Tesla Gigafactory 1 or Gigafactory 2 Economic Diversification District 1 or 2, respectively, property tax revenues away from Storey County, causing adverse fiscal impact to the county during the terms of this agreement. So we are taking into account potential of adverse action happening against the county with legislative action, and hoping that doesn't happen, of course. The paragraph right underneath that, there is a 1.8% penalty for failure to provide payment on time within a 90-day period. And we appreciate Tesla working with us on that. Going to subsection F, just a little bit further down, there's the traffic signal. The details of the traffic signal are mentioned in the exhibit that we'll get to in a moment. I'm going to go to, I'm going to go to the exhibits. So there is exhibit A and exhibit B attached to this. I'm going to go to exhibit A at this point. It's page 10 of the packet, or not the packet, but the government services agreement. And this specifies in detail the elements that Tesla has agreed with the county to provide to defray the cost of the county responding to District Number 2. In this case, you see the 7 deputies, you see the 6 vehicles, and the 1 Model Y Tesla vehicle. And then you also see the assistant, the sheriff's office is provide or agreed to provide assistance to the Tesla Gigafactory as far as helping out their security with some training and things like that. And then there is an area that you'll see in a map that's attached to this. It's called Beat 7. Appreciate the sheriff's office helping put that together and determining what would be a right, as well as Tesla working with us on this. Is this is an area that the sheriff's office has agreed he will provide assignments into this district, and this Tesla is going to pay for the deputies, and the deputies are here to be able to provide not only the needs of the area, but also the needs of the Gigafactory. And then also in this section, you will see the 911 dispatcher and you'll see the assessor's office, property appraiser, and auditor. And that's it for Exhibit A. For Exhibit B is the road and the traffic management element, and that's on page 12 of your government services agreement draft. And the first part is traffic management. Tesla and us had worked together to try to assure that the expansions that they do, that traffic, all the people coming in and out of work, are trying to meter it appropriately between Milan Drive and Electric Avenue to lessen the load at any given time on those roads. The next item, B, you see, is the electric Milan traffic signal, the $1.7 million up to the 85%, and then the time period where that project will be done. They will also pay for the cost of county engineering and design, all of the things that are related, going out to bid, et cetera. It will be a county project that will be through reimbursement, as it's a county owned right of way. There is an agreement with Tesla on number C or letter C. There is a potential that we may need to restrict certain left and right turns into that road. Tesla agrees not to contest those if the county says we cannot make those turns anymore because of the angle of the road, or Tesla will pay for 100% of the improvements needed to facilitate those types of turns. And then electric maintenance, we have agreed on or about April of 2027 that the county and Tesla will discuss these items necessary, looking at the cost of doing some further maintenance of roads in that area that are used by Tesla, or creating an alternative where Tesla could assume the ownership of a portion of those roads and pay back the county any costs that they owe to Tri-Center for that element of the road and other considerations. And then it's important to note at the very bottom under E that the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center reimbursement elements in this, you would not be subject to reimbursement. And then when you go to Exhibit C, this is what we went over in the last board meeting. It is all of the maps that correspond to the Economic Diversification District 2 ordinance. So if you are looking at those legal descriptions and want to see what they are, you can look at these exhibits and hopefully get some help on that. And that's all I have, and I welcome any member of my team as well as anyone else in this board to ask any questions.
All right, can we just take a 2-second break?
Yeah.
Thanks. Is there, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments at this time?
I have no questions except a thank you for all the efforts of the staff and everyone on the negotiating team and Tesla, and the folks have all come together in something that's a very workable baseline for all of the community, public and otherwise. And I'm just going to reach out for a sincere thank you to everyone involved in the process. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything at this point?
No, I'll just echo those sentiments. I super appreciate all the work that's gone into this and look forward to getting it finalized.
Thank you for that, Vice Chairman. I will echo the same sentiments. I know that our staff and Tesla, folks at Tesla, have worked literally 7 days a week. I've gotten emails at 8:30 at night on a Sunday so that I know our team is hard at work. Chris, you and your team, I'm surprised you responded 8:30 at night on a Sunday, but glad to see it. Again, thanks to everybody. It's obviously very important that we get this thing dialed in. I think it's going to be good for the county. It's going to be good to help Tesla. I think it's going to be good for the sheriff's office. And I think overall folks at the park. Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any public comment, then we are going to move on. Again, this was just discussion only. No action will be taken today. And that brings us to item number 10, which is, again, public comment. Is there any public comment about anything?
Sure.
Yeah, please.
Jim Hindle, Clerk Treasurer, once again, just wanted to add two more points on my comments earlier. The data that was presented today in the election summary report and the cast vote report are now available online. So if you go to the Story County website and you go to the clerk's page and go to election information, you'll be able to navigate to those reports and see the data.
Thank you very much for that, Jim. Is there any other public comment? Not seeing any. Brings us to item number 11. I think we have a record today. It's 10:50 a.m. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting adjourned.